Welcome to Musically and Technically Speaking, a podcast where music and technology intersect, hosted by Brenda Minch and Carol Broves.
Hey, Brenda.
Yes, Carol.
We're doing something different today because I'm recording this time. We're going
to
see if it's
right. We like to spread the learning love.
The working learning love. Well, this is May, and of course, we're, you know, May and December are the big music performance months. You know, we're all trying to get everything done and, you know, completed before the end of the year. And I think our topic we discussed is concerts and the management of concerts.
So we're going to talk about, like, hard and fast, what we do to make things work on the stage. Like, not concert ideas necessarily,
no.
But like the nitpicky things of how do you get the kids to know what they're doing without you going crazy during the concert.
Right. So basically hand signs. This is what I do. I do a lot of hand signs and sort of clicking and stuff. I mean, I don't talk. I mean, I sort of think that sort of creates a whole nother environment because then they expect you to talk and sometimes you can't talk over everything that's going on. So
hold on. You don't talk in your concerts at all?
Not too much, no. My kids do a lot of announcing, and then I sort of like, you know, snap my fingers. They're sort of like, this is bad, but they're sort of like dogs. I mean, they know what to do. I mean, they just, you know, when I snap my fingers, they do this, go up, go down, you know.
Interesting.
So, but you have to realize, I teach 4-8. When I taught K-3, you know, it was slightly different. So we're coming from two different little avenues, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, to some degree, yes. That depends on, you know, I've done that whole middle school 6th through 8th grade thing, too. Of course, the middle school thing that I've done has been more just vocal program, not so much a general music program, but
right.
As an extracurricular, you choose to be in it kind of thing.
Right.
So let's talk about, like, how far out do you start doing concert prep from a concert?
I don't like to go any farther out than six to 8 weeks. 2 months after that, it depends on my group. If I know the group's going to need some help, particularly in, let's say, lining up, knowing how, presence. I mean, that's sort of the key. I mean, they all learn the music at the same pace, but it's knowing the group and knowing how much time after they've learned the song, what you're going to do to try to get them up on the risers, know what they have to do, know the order of the songs, and be able to get off the risers or whatever, you know, whatever little doodad you're doing in terms of, like, theater and, you know, if you're doing a dance, where kids are going to stand and stuff like that. So,
right. All right, well, let's start with just basic. Like, we want them to stand on the risers.
Oh, yeah.
In basic rows, and there's not a whole lot of, like, trading places with other kids or anything.
Right.
Just a basic kind of stand and sing, maybe a little choir riser movement kind of thing.
Right.
So how do you prep for that?
Now, we do it differently because I know a little bit about what you do.
Okay.
What I prep for it, my thing is, because I have the different classes and they're all mixed up in the concert, I really don't know where they're going to stand in the concert because I may have 3 or 4 different classes and all the fourth grades sing, so they may be in all different places because my kids walk up on the risers and they may have a different spot every time. And so I try to teach that every time they get up there, they're going to have a different spot and they're not going to push and shove. Because that's one of the things I have is that they get to a spot and some of these students feel that they should be at a certain riser and a certain place and they start pushing and shoving. So I try to make it that they're different every time. So they learn to be sort of, you know, understanding that it's not always the same.
Right. So how do you deal with, you know, Joe is like, you know, 5'8" and Cindy is 4'2".
Okay.
And Cindy ends up behind Joe.
Right. What I do is I have front row and back row, and that's how we rehearse. And then when we sit, I put all the front rows on one side of the gym and all the back rows on the other side.
Aha.
So when they walk up, so let's say, and I do it alphabetical, so let's say Mrs. Zazov's class would be at the very back. So her class would be on, let's say, on the right side, the front row, and then the back row would be on the left side. And then the class before that would be Tannenbaum. And so the front row would be on one side. So all the front row kids go up, and then all the back row. And you still have some kids you have to move around. And so what happens is, I know that there's some kids, let's say there might be the shortest kid in the whole class might be in Mrs. Zazov's class. So what will happen is, that child will get up on the riser, and they'll know just to move. And so we'll get up on the riser, and that kid will know, okay, I've got to move over here. So
then you only have two rows for every concert, front row, back row, that's it?
Well, then we get in the risers, we have five rows.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We have five rows. So the front row goes on first, and then the back row. And we practice walking up on the risers, stand in the middle of the risers, you know, walk to the very end. Now, my students in fourth grade have never been on risers because over in K-3, all they do is stand. They stand on the bleachers. So this is a first. When I taught K-8, by the time fourth grade hit, I never had to go over this because my little first graders even knew how to get on risers. So
yeah. There are some perks to seeing everybody.
Right, right.
You can do all that concert junk.
Right.
In kindergarten, first grade, pound it into their head, and then you never have to worry about it again.
Right. So it works out great. So I've not really had any problems with that. So that's sort of how I do it. And we practice getting up on the risers. I have two rehearsals before the show. The first rehearsal is basically, you know, just trying to make sure we know how to get up and down the risers. We sing the song once or twice. I'm more concerned about whether we can get up and down. And then the second rehearsal is more of a music rehearsal. So I try to have the first rehearsal, almost 2 weeks out because it's more of an organizational one. It gets the kids all excited. And I try to do that before Thanksgiving. And then when we come back from the Thanksgiving holiday, because we have like a whole week off because of conferences and stuff, then we go up one more time and then it's showtime. So I only have two rehearsals together with them. That's it.
So I can beat you.
You got one.
I get one. One rehearsal to take everybody in the gym. And we, at our school, we have our concerts in a separate, completely separate building from where we are having school at.
And that's because very common. That's very common.
Yes. Because where we have school at, the gym is just, it's an elementary-only building. And so there's no bleachers or anything in the gym. It's just a gym with some basketball hoops. And you can, you know, like there's maybe a foot or two between the out-of-bounds line and the wall. So there's not enough room to put, like, you know, 200, 300 kids, plus all their grandparents, aunts, and uncles, in the gym together. So we go to the middle school, which is the biggest gym in our county, actually, and we all practice one time. They takes three buses to get us all over to the gym.
So do they go in the buses all together? So you have to plan for something over there before they get up there, or?
Well, how we do it is that, and this was in place before I got there, the day of the program, that morning, because we are spread out all over the district, there's lots of different towns, we're a consolidated district, so we have a lot of busing in the morning. Sometimes kids, you know, get on a bus at, you know, their country house, get off the bus at one of the district schools, get on another bus to actually end up at the school they go to. So we have lots and lots of busing. So we do it in the morning, and instead of going on everybody's bus, if you come to the building, the middle school building where we're having the concert, any time before you come to the building you're supposed to live at, you just stay at the middle school building.
Excellent.
And so then we have teachers, and this is really nice at my school. My teachers are really helpful. They have teachers from each grade level that stay at the middle school. That way there's somebody there to watch the different grade levels of kids, so I can be worried about setting up the concert because I couldn't get in there until the night before if I was lucky. Sometimes there's a basketball game right before the concert the night before, and I don't get to set up until the day of.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, that's fun. So that's, for us, that's part of where I had to be heavily organized. Before I got there, they were doing the thing where the kids just stood up on the bleachers and sat back down again.
Yeah.
I just really didn't like that. Coming straight out of college, in my head, you know, concerts where everyone walked up to the risers. And
I agree. Kids walk up. I agree the same way.
Right. So I start concert prep with my kids probably at least 2 weeks out, or 2 weeks, 2 months out. So if we do a concert at the beginning of December, that's usually when ours ends up, beginning of November, beginning of October, we are starting Christmas music. Because I only see my kids 2 days a week. So that's as close to the concert days I ever want to get. So about week number three of starting to practice, I make them order themselves from tallest to shortest in each class. And after doing this so many years, I now know that I need four rows and that row number one needs to have one less kid than row number two. Row number two and number three can be the same, and row number five or four can have one more row than or one more kid than everybody else. So we start sitting. Those are our assigned seats. We call those our concert seats from the middle of October. And we sit in those seats every day because there was 1 year when I didn't do that. And oh, my goodness, the chaos that ensued. was horrible. So we sit up on the top rows of our bleachers, in the nosebleed section for the concert. All the lights go out, and we have a set of doors where you can walk down the stairs onto the stage, behind, you know, walls and stuff without having to see everyone go crazy. So when the lights are off, when it's the kids' turns, the teachers herd them down to the stage, and they are already in the order that they're supposed to stand in, up in the bleachers. So that's really easy because they've been sitting in those seats for a month and a half. So they know where to go. We file in. I'm a big fan of we all go up one side of the risers and file all the way over.
I do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So, since these are little bitty guys, and they have a really hard time understanding this, and I have never figured out why. So a couple of years ago, I got these red, blue, yellow, and red, just those three colors, red, blue, and yellow plastic dots. They're about the size of paper plates, and they're a little thick plastic. And I use them to mark things like places where we're going to stand to do dances and stuff. But for the Christmas concert, I put three red ones on the end of one side of the risers and three blue ones on the other end of the risers. And that way I can say, okay, second grade, you always go up and down the red side because second grade lives on one side of the gym, third grade lives on the other, so that we can enter and exit at the same time.
Wow, great.
And we have those floor markers, those red and blue dots on the floor in the music room starting in November, so that now we're all pre-programmed red and blue, red and blue, red and blue, so that when they just get transferred onto the risers, no big deal. We know we're supposed to step on the red and the blue dots.
I do the same thing. I have the same thing in my classroom where we have our concert rows and we practice the same way. So I think both of us have the same idea where we practice in our classroom first. We make sure it's controlled in our classroom. We almost simulate how it's going to be.
Exactly.
And then when we get on the risers, it's no big different. This is not anything new. They've seen the colors. They've seen the order. They've seen the risers. You know, it's all the same. You know, and it's interesting. Here we are talking about this. And almost the entire time, all we've talked about is organization. We haven't talked about music. And I think that's one of the big problems with beginning teachers. They get caught up in the music and forget these little details. Like you said, you make sure they sit in the same order, you know, have a plan.
Right.
You know.
Well, those are things I think you learn over, you know, years and years of doing the program. You discover early on in your first couple of years, I think, if you're not super organized, that you will waste. Because I only get an hour, maybe an hour and a half tops to get four grade levels of kids that I'm in charge of, plus a preschool class that I have no control over that somebody else is going to haul up on the stage and they're going to use some of my rehearsal time. That's all I'm going to get. So if I don't get everybody done, we're back on the bus and I'm so sorry the concert's at night. We don't have another chance.
Yeah.
So you kind of learn.
And I have only the gym period. I have the gym period, and that is a 40-minute period, and that includes me getting all the kids there. I mean, usually it's 30 minutes, so I get 30 minutes. So, like you said, you learn to be very efficient because you don't have time or else you don't get to rehearse.
Right, because you're there to do the music, and so you have to do the organizational stuff in your classroom beforehand. And like you said, there's so much else going on. You know, they're having to walk up new steps. They're going to have to, you know, worry about falling off the risers. Oh, which, by the way, is an issue. I actually had a kid fall off the back side of the risers because our risers don't have that, you know, safety gate. We have old ones. So I had to institute a policy. You're going to love this. I had to institute a policy where everyone stood on the risers with their toes touching. There's like a metal strip on the edge of the carpet. And so we talk about that in class. And I have like tape on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, now, on the risers, that tape is going to be silver, and everyone has to have their toes on the silver stripe. And so there's this list of things when they stand up. I say, are you standing with your hands at your side? Are you looking forward? Are your toes on the tape?
Right.
Do you have your eyes glued to the teacher? All that kind of stuff. And we do this for, you know, a long time before the concert. That way, when we get up there, all I have to do is stand the way I want, like visually. I show them how I want them to stand, and they're used to seeing, because when we did it in the room, when I put my hands down to the side, I make sure I say, glue your hands to your side.
Right.
But when I just do the movement for the concert, they know the movement suggests glue your hands to your side. So there's a lot of preemptive work that you take care of. And you don't do all that at once. You know, I don't do stripe.
No.
Because they get overloaded. But
I agree.
It's a process.
And I agree that you know, when you said hands at your side and all that. Now, I had someone fall off the risers, too. I have the luxury of having junior high kids there, and they love being in the backside. So I put mats down, and I have four or five kids that actually sit on the floor, and all they have to do is they watch the kids' backsides. And if a kid gets anywhere near the corner, they tap their heels in the back.
No way! That's a great idea.
Yeah, so it works out great. They of course, do junior high kids love laying back there, like tapping the, you know? So these are, of course, ultra responsible. I trust them explicitly.
They are, right, because you don't want them back there touching everyone's.
No, and of course, the perk is they get to get out of class for 30 minutes, do a little rehearsal of that. So I've got kids that are all want to be perfect, you know. So, but I have four that are back there, and that's all they do is just make sure the management of the fourth grade. So since I did that, I've had no problems. Because the last thing some child wants to do is be tapped on their heels. And plus, it helps. I don't have to worry about, you know, any of those issues.
Right. It's one less thing to think. I like the idea of the mats, too. I also, the year we decided, I was having trouble making the audience be quiet.
Yeah.
About year number five of my teaching career. For some reason, that parents weren't just were not getting it. Excuse my clock. And so I was talking to the principal, and I said, there's got to be a way to make this go better, because I know when we do the musical in there, it's quiet, and I don't, like, why can't a bunch of, you know, elementary parents be quiet for an hour? I don't get it. And so we started talking about that, and I realized when we do the musical in there, it's pitch black. There's no choice but to focus on the stage and be quiet, because you can't see anything else. So we started turning the lights out during the program, which was great. It got everyone quiet. However, we now had the added problem of my little elementary kids can't see to get to the door to get down to the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And we only have three teachers, and they're all spread out amongst 80 kids. So I brought some of my responsible middle school kids in with flashlights, and they had the job of standing on the aisles like, you know, little runner lights with their flashlights on the ground to make sure the kids didn't trip over stairs and things like that. But they thought that was the best job ever.
Well, that's, you know, that's going to be another talk. We're going to talk about mentoring, because I think we both use a lot of mentoring. Well, this has been good. This is a good one. I mean, like I said, I enjoy this one. This is, you know, concert management, you know, key to success. Like you said, the more organized you are way before the concert, the better the concert's going to go.
And I think it's just about, go ahead.
The music's going to happen anyway.
Right. It's just about thinking about what might possibly go wrong before it actually happens.
Okay, well, thanks, Brenda.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like more information on any of the topics we discussed, all the links are on the blog.